Okay. Well, my name is Don. I'm an alcoholic. And hi, everybody. Really grateful to be here this morning. I'm normally a late sleeper, so Charlie got me up early this morning. I've been retired for about 3 years now, and I'm a retired pediatrician. I'm used to getting up in the morning, but since I've been retired, I've been taking a little advantage of that. So. Just to tell you a little bit about myself, I have been sober since November 3rd of 1992. So just had my 30-year anniversary just a little while back, and which is quite the accomplishment. I don't give myself a lot of credit for that. I really give my credit for that to AA and to the fellowship. And also to a higher power that has helped me quite a bit during my recovery. You know, on these leads, we're supposed to talk a little bit about what happened, what it's like and what it's like now. And, basically what happened, briefly, I grew up in a Catholic family. And so religion played quite a large part in my early development, but, in general, I had a really relatively easy childhood and early adulthood because pretty much everything was done for me at home. Basically, all I had to do was bring home good grades, study a lot. I had a relatively happy childhood as I look back on it. I didn't have to do a whole lot other than kind of become kind of an overachiever, I think. It's another term I like to use for myself quite often. I was more of a people pleaser, kind of a perfectionist, and definitely an overachiever, and always felt like all I had to do was maintain my grades and do well in school, and everything seemed to be going okay. Problem is, as life went on. And everybody in my family, all I do remember as well is that everybody would, there was a lot of drinking that used to go on in my family, a lot of beer drinking in particular, a lot of pretty hardcore beer drinkers. And I remember a lot of parties, et cetera, that I went to with, and that's really where I got my start, as I always like to say, is like a social drinker. I did drink quite a bit during college and drank quite a bit during medical school. So I was always, one of those people that had a drink in his hands, cause I always had to feel like, I fit in, and it just made me more comfortable basically. Didn't really have a whole lot of problems with the alcohol at that point in my life. But when I got out of, my medical school and started into my residency, you know, interestingly enough, I had to move away from home. Which was really where I was accustomed to. I actually stayed at home and you know, well, the entire time that I was in college and medical school. So I didn't really participate much on campus type thing. So when I got out of medical school and started my residency, I just really started having what I would consider outright panic attacks. Literally felt like I couldn't handle things. It was just overwhelming, and I was in what I would consider quite a bit of trouble at that point in my life. So much so that finally, the only thing that seemed to help as I was doing my residency, another pediatrician happened to prescribe a medicine that you guys may have heard of before called Librium, and started a little Librium and Valium for me. And, you know, it actually worked. I remember it's precisely when I started using it. I basically thought that, that I could do anything at that point. And I really felt like I was, fitting in really well. And I was, I'd say I even became a little more aggressive. Like I can just do absolutely anything. As time went on, during my residency, I got to the point where I was finally able to prescribe, you know, my own medications. When that happened, I was pretty much went off to the races. Over the years, after my residency, starting my private practice, was increasing the benzodiazepines quite a bit, the Valium, the Ativan, the Librium, just anything I could get my hands on. And that together with, I used to have a really odd, and Charlie probably remembers this, I always bring it up every once in a while. I used to mix codeine cough medicine in my coffee and pretty much drink that, quite honestly, all day long. And so I had a little mixture going there. And I do remember when I got home after being at work all day, I did like to enjoy quite a few different liqueurs. And of course, I continued my beer drinking, but the liqueurs actually started tasting pretty good as well. And I used to just basically do all three of those in combination. So, and as time goes on, my wife and I were due to have our first child. And all of a sudden, I thought I'd like to see if I can get sober. So I actually went into, and I don't know if I'd mentioned this in my Caduceus group, but I actually was in treatment in 1981 or thereabouts, 1980, I believe, at the Mayo Clinic. And I was gone for about 30 days into rehab. Got back out and nobody was monitoring me. Nobody was paying any attention to me. So I just didn't get it at all. I heard about AA at that point, but really nothing that I really grabbed onto. So as time went on, in my addiction, I really started to have a lot of problems, a lot of circumstances coming up and, stuff that's happening to me because of my addiction. The main thing that comes out is that, I was falling asleep at the wheel quite a bit when driving, and did have a really bad accident one morning. I was on the way to work after I had taken my drugs and the coffee, of course, that I was drinking as well. Crossed over the interstate and head on into a couple cars and a truck, and managed, God only knows how, managed to get out of that somehow alive without hurting anybody else. And you would think that would be enough to kind of wake me up a little bit. And but I do remember that the main thing I was thinking about after the accident was I had to find out where my pills were. I wanted to make sure I still had my pills and that kind of thing. So it really didn't slow me down very much. So anyhow, as time went on, you know, I was as a practicing pediatrician, still practicing. Now I felt like I was practicing, of course, very well, because, you know, I felt like I could just do about anything. Got to a point where I actually had, believe it or not, actually had to pass a drug screen for an insurance policy. And and I do remember I was going absolutely berserk trying to come off of this stuff, and had a little fall in the bathroom, and finally got to the point where I needed to get into, I really needed help. And there was an organization for professionals and doctors called OPEP in Ohio, and I managed to call them, and they sent me away to treatment. And I was in treatment on and off a couple of times, actually. The first time I went in, I was in for about 3.5 months, came back out, and was very kind of still down in the dumps, not getting anything. And got to a really distraught situation, and I really started thinking about hurting myself, and actually went ahead and tried that. I overdosed and ended up in the hospital. And after that particular suicide attempt, I went back into treatment for another month and got out. And I guess about a year later, I attempted suicide again. So I actually woke up both times. And I do remember after the second attempt, I woke up in the hospital in the intensive care unit, and my sponsor, who had been following me, was standing there next to me while I was laying in bed. And I remember waking up, seeing him, and he was actually laughing a little bit, and said, "Are you about ready to start working this program?" And I do remember right before I woke up in the hospital that I kind of shouted out to myself, "God help me." And it seemed like I had some kind of a change at that point. And I finally decided that I really better get into this program and start working the steps. And the sponsor that I had was really very good. I had met him at one of the meetings, and he carried me through on the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I worked all 12 steps, and Paul and I became really close friends. I was going to a lot of meetings with him and continued to practice. But one thing I forgot to mention is that when I did get out of treatment the first time around, the pediatric group that I was with did not want me back. They simply did not want me back. They didn't want to have anything to do with me. And that was really, I think, why I became a little more distraught and overwhelmed. And that kind of contributed somewhat to the two suicide attempts, I think. But having gotten back out and talking to Paul and wanting to work the program, finally got back out. And I actually just volunteered because one thing that I was really quite scared about doing was practicing medicine without the help of without the help of drugs, because I was always high on something when I was practicing, and I never was able to practice without being under the influence. So that was really kind of a scared little puppy when it came to that. And I volunteered downtown at a pediatric clinic, and they accepted me down there, and I was working down there for about 6 months. And all of a sudden, I thought to myself, "Yeah, I'm really doing well. I'm actually working. I'm not under the influence, and things seem to be going okay. So I think I'll look for another group." And I found another pediatric group, and ended up working for them for another 25 years until I retired. I do remember when I started in that second group, I told the head doctor in the group, he knew all about me, knew about my past, and still was willing to give me a chance. And I had pretty much done what the medical board wanted me to do through the OPEP program. I was monitored constantly, had to drop off urines, and was under contract, I think, for a total, turned out to be a total of about 10 years altogether. And I'm looking back on that, I think that really did help me, especially initially, to stay sober, because I knew I was being monitored, and I knew I had to drop off the urine whenever they requested one. So I think that in the long run, I think that did help me in my recovery. So I think today, this program is really means a lot to me. I think looking back at it, my higher power, who I choose to call God, my higher power, I never really did get back into the Catholic religion part of it. Haven't really gone back into church per se. But since I've been out, I kind of found what I think is some good spirituality in the program. And I think looking back, my higher power's been with me at least on three or four occasions that I can remember. Charlie, I know Charlie is well aware of my two suicide attempts, and I had another attempt. Like I said, I managed to live through that accident crossing over the highway. And just recently, and I still have a little thing around my arm here and my wrist, I was bringing a gate upstairs at home, and got about halfway up the steps and lost my balance and fell backwards completely down the steps and hit my head. And really, I was kind of dazed for, I would say, at least a half hour, not even knew where I was. And even with that, managed to come through that with just a few fractured bones in my hand. And, because very easily could have broke my neck. I could have had a head bleed, or just about anything happened. Could have been dead, really, from that fall. So there are at least four situations where, things could have turned out a lot different. So I think my higher power has been kind of keeping an eye on me throughout my recovery. And I feel like I'm to the point where no matter what comes up, I think I can make it through to the other side. I always try and play the tune through. I do have situations, even being sober for 30 years, about you know, on a hot afternoon at a baseball game, why not have a beer or two? And the thought definitely comes over my mind, and I definitely think about it, but it's pretty transient. And I kind of play it through, and I think I definitely don't want to go back to the way it was. I wasn't a very happy camper, and life just wasn't any good. So I always managed to play the tape through, and find that you know, as long as I do what my sponsor wants me to do, and I just stay in touch through the fellowship of AA, things have gone really, really very well. I did end up retiring from pediatrics about 3 years ago, and I was ready to retire. I actually turned 70 at that point, and I retired really right before the pandemic. So luckily, that was a pretty good time to retire, as it turns out. And I think since I've been retired, again, things are going well. My wife and I are still getting along, although at times it's a pretty rough relationship. She is constantly on me for a lot of different things, and we have our ups and downs, but we've managed to stay together, and I've been married now for 45 years. So I'm grateful for that as well. One thing I do want to mention before I open it up or anything, I wanted to read just a little thing here from the big book, one of my favorite passages, if I can find it here. And it's one of our dentists in our Caduceus group always talks about the road of happy destiny. And I kind of like the end of that. There's a couple paragraphs, but just want to read the last one, and I'll kind of close with this. Here's basically what it says. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And I do like that that road to happy destiny. It kind of fits in for me, and I try to read that every day. And as far as the program, I try and do my meditation every day, and just kind of keep spiritually fit. You know, I mentioned drinking beer or something like that earlier, but I really, I think I can generally do pretty much anything that I like to do. I do tend to go out socially. I have friends. The program has kept me in touch with my friends, a lot of friends that I used to drink with pretty heavily. I still go out with now, and they know I'm in recovery, and they kind of respect that. And we get along very well, and I have lots of fun when I'm out with them. So I can fairly well go to any place that I like, as long as I feel like I'm spiritually fit and in a good place. And certainly would not want to put myself in a real high-powered situation where everybody's going crazy at a party or whatever. But I still feel like I can pretty much do and go just about anywhere that that I like, as long as I'm spiritually fit. So I think I'll probably just end it with that. And again, I'm really grateful to be here today. My gratitude is probably the biggest thing in my program right now. I'm grateful just to be alive after being close to death on at least four occasions that I can think of. I'm grateful for the program, grateful for the fellowship. And I have no intentions of doing anything else at this point in time. I take things one day at a time. It's one thing my sponsor always used to tell me all the time, just take it one day at a time, and things are going to work out. No matter if they look terrible, it's going to be okay. And keep trudging forward on that road of happy destiny. So that's all I have. Thanks for listening. And Charlie, I'll give it back to you for the time being.